food with the hungry, to provide with shelter, to clothe them. Those are all found in Isaiah. Now, when we fast and pray, we know that's going without food, but God calls for another fast where we work to loose the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, to share our food with others, to provide them with shelter, to clothe them. Matthew 25, Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. In prison and you visited me. You see, this is God's heart towards the poor. Whatever you did for the least of my brothers, he said, we serve in this way, we are literally doing it for Jesus, doing it on Him. James 2 says, don't show partiality to the rich. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. You understand? We're taking that verse apart and thought about it. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith, to inherit the kingdom. Don't show partiality to the rich. You know, the problems that many of these people have, I live in Williamsburg, on the outskirts of Williamsburg, and the people in Williamsburg are very affluent. You know, they have the same problems these people do, very same problems, but they have some insulation. They have homes to live in, they have clothes to wear, food to eat, money, cars. But these people that we serve, we have the blessing of sharing with them the same lives we have. He says, don't show partiality to the rich. God's chosen the poor to be rich in faith. You know what the poor have that many do not, who have the insulation? They have faith. The others, their faith doesn't get stretched like these people. The more their faith gets stretched. You know, when I grew and most of my faith was in planting a church when there wasn't enough money. It wasn't enough and our furnace broke down in the house in Pittsburgh. That's not a good place for break down, and we didn't have the money to fix the furnace, and so I told everybody, get out your sweaters, and I said, we need to pray about this, and my wife said, we need to pray not only to fix the furnace, we don't have the food. And so we prayed, and there was a knock at the door, and there was a check from a guy who had been wrestling with God for 2 weeks, who needed the money for his business. Gave it to the Lord, gave it to us. We were able to fix our furnace and get food to eat. He went home, found a check from the government he didn't expect, which was twice what he gave us. When he went to get his supplies, they were on half price. Now, what I'm saying to you, you see, that's where the poor have a great opportunity because they get to be rich in faith. They get to come to the place where they have to depend. That's one of the things that he said. In Luke 6:20, he's looking at his disciples. He said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, we know that that has many meanings, not just financially poor. But that is included there. So these are the words of the Lord. But what reactions do we have when we think of the poor? Northside Christian Church had us come and help do a DVBS with them last year. And they gathered the boys and the girls, and they pitted the boys against the girls to raise money for Lackey. And that was a real joy. And as I dealt with these kids, they said, you know, I said, what is poor? As I talked to them, I said, what's a poor person? These kids honestly said, well, they're people who live in tents and out in the woods, and they don't dress very nice, they don't shave, and you got to watch, they'll steal from you and all. And I said, that's not the poor. Certainly we serve people, and there are a lot of people around Williamsburg who live out in the woods with their families. You may not know that, but that's true. I can take you to places right now. And they're great people. this, the poor, as you heard on this film, 70% of our people who come to the clinic are work full-time. And I would bet that in this congregation, I'm not a betting man, but if I would bet, I could bet taking you to dinner or you taking me to dinner, but I would bet that somebody in this congregation does not have medical insurance. And so 70% of our people work. They just don't have the benefits. They work in jobs so that you and I can get the lower prices. They work in the fast food industry. They work all over. But they have no benefits. And so 70% of them work full-time. Another 12% work part-time. So 82% of them are not out on the dole. They're good people. They don't want to be at the clinic, but they need to be. Last year, we had 7,400 patient visits. But you know what? Everybody says, wow, that's a lot. And it is. Just as you saw in this film, you know how many people qualify for our services in this area, the area we serve? 160,000. No medical insurance, and they live below 200% of the poverty line. 160,000. One of the first reactions I hear is, why isn't the government doing a better job with the poor and disadvantaged? My answer to that is, who's this scripture written to? I don't see any of this scripture written to the government. Who's it written to? It's written to us, the church. We want the government involved, and when that happens, the money has to come from somewhere, so they tax us. We complain about that, and then they misuse the money. We complain about that, and they want to tax us some more. We complain about that, and we scream. They institute programs that don't seem to work. They misuse the money we do that we give to them, and they don't get the job done. When are we going to wake up as a church? God has opened this door. So many pastors say to me, how do we reach people today? I don't see any churches where they're kicking the doors down. How do we reach them? We reach them the way God told us. We go to the poor, to the disadvantaged, and we invest in them, and we love them, and we care about them. And God's blessing comes upon us. But you know, we're pretty well tied up with this world, aren't we? We have our homes, we have our clothes. We may not have Mercedes-Benz or BMWs or any of the big luxuries that others have. But I doubt that any of us in here are starving or hungry. Maybe some are. Come to Lackey Clinic, let us take care of you. But what I'm saying to you is this. God cares for this. And we have the great privilege. If every Christian were to tithe in this country, that's not my law. That's what God tells us to do. Matter of fact, I like to see what the scriptures say about tithing. Tithing is what we do to show our love for God. Then we give offerings. He calls us to give offerings above the tithe. And then he calls us, and that's money that we can give above the tithe that we still afford. Then he calls us to give sacrificial offerings. That's where we deny ourselves things to give. But the one I'd always smile about that I don't see many people operating in is hilarious giving, where they give and they can't afford it, and God supplies it, and they get the joy of it. But if every Christian were to examine their lifestyle and say, wait a minute, I'm getting sucked into this culture. I'm getting sucked into the way everyone is. So we spend 3 or 4 hours a night watching television, getting our thinking conditioned by the culture around us. So, you know, if this is the culture and this is the church and this is the middle, the culture keeps moving over, the church keeps moving over. What used to be the middle of the road for us is now our place where we live as a church. I'm not talking about buildings or denominations. Proverbs says this: sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. You know, when that fella gave me the money when we were planting the church, he was selling his possessions, the things he needed for his business, and gave them to us. And when he did, God gave him more back. Now, that's not what God... I'm not into the prosperity thing. Forgive me if you are. I'm into the fact that God gives us joy and peace and the opportunity to serve. It isn't what can I give that God will give me more back. That's the wrong thought. What can I give that God will get the glory? You follow me, church? It says, sell your possession, give to the poor, provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. We buy things, then we alarm them, and we worry about somebody's going to steal them from us. We worry about it's going to burn down. We worry about, you know, somebody's going to take it. Is this God's possession or is it mine? We're all guilty. I'm guilty. You're guilty. I'm not standing up here like the great saint. Saying we are in a place where God has given us great opportunity. Luke 14:13 says, and when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Now, does that mean we're supposed to, every time there's a banquet, go out? Well, that'd probably be a great thing to do. But it's a thought coming across there. We're to minister to these people just as we're being. What we have, we should share with them. Okay, that's God's heart for the poor, from my estimation and my understanding of Scripture. How do we think? Another way we think is that many of these people are taking advantage of the system. They should go get a job. I told you about that. They have jobs. Williamsburg just said they're going to need 5,000 more workers in the next 10 years. What are they going to pay them? Where are they going to live? What benefits are they? Working poor, working jobs that are very needed, yet are paid very poorly. In our area, as I said, there's 160,000 people in this area. In Virginia, there's over 1 million people without health insurance. You think about that. Maybe you're in that category. But if you're not, if you have health insurance, what would it be like not to have? What would it be like? Your child gets sick, what do you do? You can't go to the doctor. You see, I'm also a chaplain with Newport News Fire Department. I've done that for 14 years, and I ride the equipment with the guys, and I ride the ambulance a lot. Probably 80% of our calls are not emergencies. But it's people doing what I would do. If I had a family and I did not have medical insurance and my child was sick or somebody was sick in my family, I'd call the ambulance because I know they have to, they cannot refuse me. And then the hospital has to see me one time. That's these people, this 160,000, that's their medical care. That's how they take care of things. How many have children here? How would you like to have that medical care for your child? Was this 160,000, get that in your mind, 160,000 in this area was before the economy collapsed. Now the economy collapsed and we're starting to see the middle income people coming in. And we're getting, this is a huge, huge problem. It's like a snowball going downhill. The other, not long ago, I had an engineer in my office. He's been trying to get a job for 2 years. He's finally had to get food stamps. The day he went to get food stamps, there were 28 other engineers in line for food stamps. Somebody very, very close to me was a vice president of a large company. was laid off. It's hitting all around. These people have no benefits. So where are they going to come? To Lackey Clinic. That's where they're to serve. But we can't possibly do it if the churches don't circle their wagons around us. We can only do so much. How do we address this problem? Well, let me say this to you. The first thing we need to do, it's not our power, it's not our strength, it's God's strength and His power. The first thing we need to do is we need to recognize the problem. Second thing we need to do is recognize the great opportunity it is for the church. Great opportunity for us as Christians. And we need to seek God's face, and we need to listen, and we need to pray and say, Lord, these people are on your heart. You love the poor. You tell us to take care of them. How do we do it, Lord? We struggle maybe as a church. We struggle in our own ways. How can we do that? You see, God has treasure in heaven. All He's looking for is where He can direct it through people to meet the needs, so that we can not only share our love with them and our care for them, but we can share Christ with them. We need to get on our face before God and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Don't need to look at anybody else. You don't need to think about anybody else's income or time or whatever. Just say, Lord, what would you have me do? Now let me fill in a few facts about Lackey and how we're addressing this need and how you could be part of that. This is a faith-based clinic. By that, we do not take any government money. That's why you see scriptures on the wall and they can't come in and say, take them down. Matter of fact, though, right by the desk, you'll see three scriptures. One is in English, one's Spanish, one's in Mandarin Chinese. It's John 3:16. You walk through, every wall has scripture on. Every exam room has scripture just to remind these people about our God and our Savior. We're faith-based. So where do we get our money? Well, foundations give us about 31%. Individuals give us about 23%. 20% comes from fundraisers, but only 6% from churches. And this is the church's ministry. This is what we're called to do. Now, I'm not trying to put guilt on any church, because I know churches are struggling right now. But the fact is, if the high percentage should be coming from the church in the peninsula, because we're ministering to their people. 20% comes for a variety of other ways. Now, remember I said that the North Side, they pitted the boys against the girls. They raised $5,000 for us. And they said, Chaplain, you know, we gave you $5,000. I said, no, you didn't. He said, yes, we did. No, you didn't. We gave you $5,000. I said, no, you didn't. What did we give you? I said, you gave us $45,000. For every dollar we take in, we give $9 worth of medical. What an investment, huh? Just think about that. So really, they gave us the opportunity to give out $45,000 worth of medical. Now, Lackey's there to minister medically, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We've seen the last 3 or 4 years, 65 people come to Christ. This last week, a lady wept her way to the Lord. Think of that, what God is doing. All these doctors and nurses will talk, deal with a patient, and then they'll say, why don't you go see our chaplain? They come over, and every time I hear a problem, I think, there can't be anything worse than that. Then the next one is worse than that. I think, oh, Lord, what can we do? Well, financially, we can't take care of their financial problems, but we can take care of their medical problems, and we can take care of their spiritual problems. So I get the opportunity of saying, you know what? Just as was said to the beggar, I don't have anything to give you, but I have this, rise and walk in the name of the Lord. I have that opportunity to challenge him to rise and walk. free medical, free dental, free counseling, free pharmaceutical aid to anyone who qualifies. To qualify, you have to have, you know, we don't minister to many children because children have their own state insurance, medical insurance. We don't minister to many people over 62. We do have a number of those, but mostly they're Medicare, Medicaid takes care of them. We take care of everybody in between that has nothing. This is a medical mission station. We send a lot of, and I came from a church that's very, very much mission-minded. We had 2,000 churches in this country, 13,000 overseas, so missions was heavy. And we give, and we set up medical clinics, and we do all that overseas, and that's great. But you know the greatest mission field right now today is our country. Other countries are starting to send missionaries to us, and we need them. And what I'm saying is, we like to say, yeah, but we're taking care. I said, come down and see our population, who we take care of. Chinese, people from the Slovak nations, Taiwan, Korean, African. We just have, it's the most international medical mission. We minister to so many. One of the things I desperately need, you can pray about, is I need somebody to come in as a volunteer chaplain who speaks Chinese, or speak Spanish. So many come, and the Spanish people are so hungry, and I give out Bibles, and I give out tracts, but I can't talk to them, and they devour them. They don't just set them down. They read every word. So you pray that God sends me somebody that speaks Spanish. But now I'm starting to say, Lord, send us somebody that speaks Chinese. Send us somebody that speaks all these other languages. They come in. Fortunately, if they come in, they have to have somebody with them that can interpret. And usually that's their child or somebody. So we do get the chance to talk with them. We screen people very closely. They have to prove that they're below the 20% of the poverty line, and they have to prove that they have no medical insurance. If they do, they get them a health card, just like you get from your health provider. And so they can come Monday mornings. Thursday nights, we have walk-in clinics. And they don't need appointments. They just come and we take as many of them as we can have doctors to see. And Monday afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we have chronic clinics. Most of these people are chronically sick. And so they then come by appointment. We see them the first time and then we assign them to a chronic clinic. Tuesday and Fridays are dental clinics. Right now we have 4 exam rooms and 1 dental chair. We're now in the process of building on again. We started in 1995 with 150 patients, and then last year we had 7,400. So we built a building, then added on to a building, we're adding on again. And we hope to add 2 more dental chairs and 2 more exam rooms so that we can reach out to so many more. I don't know what else I can share with you. I know this. The total, you saw that we gave over $5 million worth of medical service to the community. And 3 saved hospitals. We saved them a lot of money because these people walk in the hospital, they don't pay. And so we're taking them off the hospital. So we saw almost $4 million. So it's almost $9 million. Worth of medical services. All I want you to ask this, answer this. Last year, I went through a battery of tests. Probably, if I hadn't had health insurance, would have cost me $4,000 or $5,000. How can a person do that that has no medical insurance? They can't. They have to live with it. My doctor recommended cough syrup for $70. I said, I don't think so. That's crazy. But let's say you had to have back surgery, $17,000. Knee replacement, $30,000. Hip fracture, $7,000. These are the low figures. If you were poisoned, $3,400. You got to check your wife then. You know, that's. Rib fracture, $7,700. How do you pay that without insurance? service people. Come and volunteer. We can use you somewhere. Maybe you have a missions budget or an outreach budget that you're able to help us on the financial side or through individual giving. Don't take away from your church. The tithe belongs to the church. I'm talking about over and above that. Now, let me say this. God will supply our needs. We're not here begging. God will supply. We're just giving you the opportunity to have the joy of being part of that solution. Come and let me take you on a tour of Lackey. Please come. Some of your people have done that. Just call me, ask for the chaplain. I'm the only chaplain there. And just say, I'd like to take a tour, and we'll set up a tour for you. Let me see it in action. I can sit up, stand up here and talk to myself blue in the face. Really want to see action, come on a Monday morning or a Thursday night. Now, I'll tell you, you're going to have trouble finding parking, but that's a minor thing, right? Come and see what God is doing at Lackey Clinic. You may say, well, I don't give anything. That's okay. Come and take a tour and see it. Let me close with two quotes for you. We make a living, Winston Churchill said this, we make a living by what we get. We make a life. We can do great things, Mother Teresa quotes this, we can do great things, but only small things with great love. Just an opportunity for you to get involved in something that's really working. People coming to Christ, people being ministered to, people under the word all the time as we minister to their medical needs. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these people. I don't know them, but you do. And Lord, thank you that you take people like this and use them in your kingdom. Lord, we think about great evangelistic crusades, and they're good. And we think about great TV programs and programs, that's good. But Lord, always, always, the work that is so greatly done is one-on-one. What we take of our time and our money and our talents, and we give them to you. So, Lord, bless this church. May it be a shining lighthouse for you. Bless these people. Anoint them to do the work of the kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name. Have any questions, I'll stay around. I'll be glad to answer any questions you have.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing what's taking place at the Lackey Free Clinic. Some staggering numbers. And I saw that on the news this morning that they're going to be closing down the ER at Riverside. A lot of people that use that facility over there at Riverside Hospital, and they were talking with some of the people in the community that go there, and that's their medical, that's who they use as their provider. And so when that shuts down, I can see another big influx at the Lackey Free Clinic because of the area that you guys serve. And so we can all get involved. And again, whether it's financially or going down, situations on Monday mornings and Thursday nights. And, who's that? Wow. So you got a stuffed shirt directing traffic now. you all.